On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Greg Dyatt.
And I'm Michael Tomalaris. Coming up tonight, a tearful Jackie Lambie resigns from the Senate.
It is with great regret to inform the Chamber and my colleagues of my resignation. I've been found to be ineligible by way of dual citizenship.
Also tonight, a special investigation exploring an underground market where Australian permanent residency is being bought and sold.
The employer fee, the sponsorship fee, he's going to charge $25,000 for that.
How much? $25,000?
That's right, yes. That's US dollars.
And the results of the same-sex marriage postal survey to be released tomorrow morning.
All those stories and more coming up in the next 30 minutes.
Good evening. It's 6 o'clock with the news. I'm Mike Tomalaris. An emotional Jackie Lambie has resigned from her Senate seat after confirmation she's a dual British citizen. Ms. Lambie's father was born in Scotland, making her British by descent. She's told the Senate she's hugely disappointed her time has been cut short.
I'm also sad that I didn't get to achieve so much of what I was working to achieve. I couldn't help everyone who needed my help. It's my greatest disappointment in my time here. I don't know what will happen next, personally or politically for me. The government may be tempted to use my absence as an opportunity. To do so would be a mistake, because while I may not be here, the Jackie Lambie network should still be represented.
Ms. Lambie's the eighth parliamentarian to be forced out of the Constitution's citizenship requirements. Meantime, former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally will contest the Bennelong by-election for Labor. The Sydney seat is up for grabs after sitting MP John Alexander was forced to step down because of his dual citizenship. Ms. Keneally says residents in the seat deserve more than they're getting from the coalition.
The people of the Bennelong electorate deserve better. They don't deserve the Liberals' cuts to Medicare. They don't deserve the Liberals' $100,000 university degrees. They don't deserve the Liberals' rising power prices. And they certainly don't deserve the slow and expensive NBN that's being rolled out right now. That's just annoying the families of this electorate.
Ms. Keneally was born in Las Vegas, but says she gave up her US citizenship to run for the New South Wales Parliament. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has warned voters in Bennelong not to be tempted to support Labor's high-profile candidate.
I just say again, the voters of Bennelong should back John Alexander, a great local member who's delivered in every respect for his community. He knows them, they know him. He's an Australian champion, and he's been a champion for Bennelong. Don't let Christina Keneally do to Bennelong what she did to New South Wales.
Debate is intensifying over how same-sex marriage might be legalised or legislated, with the expectation that the Bureau of Statistics will tomorrow announce a yes result from the postal survey. Some Conservatives are backing a bill drafted by Liberal Senator James Patterson, which proposes wide protection for religious freedom and conscientious objection. Federal Attorney General George Brandis has told the ABC it's important all options are considered.
Any bill that the Parliament deals with, we will expect to have ample protections for religious freedom. Now, where you draw the line, how narrow or how broadly that line is drawn, is going to be the subject, no doubt, of a lot of attention during the parliamentary debate.
Labor Senator Penny Wong has described Senator Patterson's bill as a blocking and delaying tactic by coalition MPs.
Now they're seeking to entrench more discrimination. I think if the Australian people do vote yes, they're not going to look kindly on the same group of people who have urged a no vote, not accepting the outcome and trying to delay further. I thought we'd gone past the point in this country where we had signs that said, you know, we don't serve Jews, we don't serve blacks. What we're talking about is an increased license to discriminate.
Overseas now, and at least 450 people are dead and thousands injured and homeless after Iran's deadliest earthquake in more than a decade. Rescue teams are continuing the search for dozens trapped beneath the rubble of collapsed houses and towns and villages in mountainous areas. Iranian authorities are calling for urgent blood donations to help treat the estimated 7,000 people injured in Sunday's powerful 7.3 magnitude quake. In sport and football, Socceroos skipper Mile Jedinak believes he's fit and firing for tomorrow night's make-or-break World Cup qualifier against Honduras. In his first full match in 5 months, Jedinak played out 90 minutes in last weekend's first leg in San Pedro Sula, which finished in a nil-all draw. He says the Socceroos support crew has been busy helping the players recover from the match and the long flight home in time for the second leg in Sydney.
I've obviously played the game and very grateful to get the minutes and see the game through. Obviously, after that, it was all about recovery and recuperation in preparation for tomorrow night, and that's all it's been really with the whole squad, not just myself. And like the boss said, everyone's been working around the clock to make sure we're in the right condition going forward, and luckily for us, we've got a full complement of players to choose from.
Acquire and Fist, finally a look at tomorrow's weather now. In Perth, sunny, a top of 31 degrees. In Adelaide, showers easing, 22. In Melbourne, showers developing, 31. Hobart, hot. Showers developing, a top of 30 degrees. In Canberra, mostly sunny, 28. Wollongong, mostly sunny, 23. Sydney, mostly sunny, 25. The same for Newcastle. In Brisbane, a possible morning shower, 26 degrees. Cairns, a possible shower, 30. And Darwin, a shower or two, possible storms, 33 degrees. And Greg, that's it from me. More on these stories coming up on SBS World News at 6:30.
Thanks, Michael. Right across Australia, this is SBS World News Radio, 6 past 6. One of Parliament's more colourful characters has fallen on her sword after becoming the latest senator to be ensnared in the citizenship fiasco. Jackie Lambie has resigned after confirming that she's a dual citizen. She's the 8th politician to have departed Parliament because of the dual citizenship saga. Aileen Phillips reports.
Another day, another politician caught out by Section 44 of the Constitution. And today, Independent Senator Jackie Lambie made an emotional revelation to Parliament.
I received confirmation this morning that my grandfather had in fact renounced. This makes my dad a Brit by descent, and therefore it makes me one too. It is with great regret to inform the Chamber and my colleagues of my resignation. I've been found to be ineligible by way of dual citizenship.
It means she was ineligible to contest the 2016 election and has resigned from Parliament. She's warned the government against using her absence to get workplace laws and other bills, which she opposed, through the Senate until her replacement is determined by a High Court-ordered special count. She says her greatest disappointment is that her time in the upper house has been cut short.
I'm also sad that I didn't get to achieve so much of what I was working to achieve. I couldn't help everyone who needed my help. It's my greatest disappointment in my time here. I don't know what will happen next, personally or politically for me. The government may be tempted to use my absence as an opportunity. To do so would be a mistake, because while I may not be here, the Jackie Lambie Network should still be represented, just as those who voted for the Jackie Lambie Network deserve to have their votes represented.
And while she didn't see eye to eye with many others over the years, tributes flowed nonetheless. Federal opposition leader Bill Shorten praised her hard work.
She hasn't always voted with me on every issue, but I like her. In terms of what she does in the future, I wish her well, but I just want to say I think it's a real tragedy that she's had to step down.
Similar sentiments from across the political divide, with Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt sorry to see her go.
I actually respect and have had a very good relationship with Jackie, and I'm actually sorry for everybody that has been knocked out on this basis.
The domino effect of the citizenship saga doesn't end there. In a surprise move, Labor's recruited former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally to stand in the Bennelong by-election. The Sydney seat's up for grabs after sitting MP John Alexander was forced to step down because of his dual citizenship. Ms Keneally says her political comeback will lead Bennelong in the right direction.
I am running because this is a moment. This is an opportunity for the community in which I live to stand up and say to Malcolm Turnbull, your government is awful. Enough is enough. We have had enough of your poor services. We have had enough of your poor policies, and we have had enough of your poor leadership.
The poll will be held on December the 16th, 2 weeks after another by-election test for the Turnbull government in the seat of New England, vacated by former Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce because of his dual citizenship. In a bid to end the citizenship crisis once and for all, Labor and the Coalition have agreed to a December 1st deadline for senators to publicly disclose details of their Australian citizenship or renunciation of foreign ties. However, it's unclear whether the deadline will also apply to lower house members.
Aileen Phillips with that story. Ten past six now. Coming up, yes or no? The result of the same-sex marriage postal survey released tomorrow at 10 a.m.
If there is a yes vote, obviously we'll be disappointed, but there'll be millions of Australians who will always believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and they'll be looking for people to represent that view in the Parliament.
And we'll look at the arguments from both sides coming up a little later in the show. 13 past six. At least 450 people are dead and more than 7,000 homeless in Iran and Iraq after the region was hit by a 7.3 magnitude earthquake. While rescue operations have been underway, Iran says it's now stopped its search for survivors. Tara Cosoletto reports.
The 7.3 magnitude earthquake hit the Iraq-Iran border on Sunday, killing hundreds and leaving thousands misplaced. Officials say the tremors were felt right across the region, but the western Iran province of Kermanshah has reportedly been the worst affected. This survivor, Amina Mohammed, says she is lucky to still be alive.
When the earthquake hit, I was lying in my bed as I wasn't feeling well. My sons were watching TV in the next room. He started shouting, "Mum, wake up, there's an earthquake." We all ran to the corridor and we could see the house collapsing behind us and hear the voice of things falling. I think it was only God that saved us. I screamed to God and it must have been him to stop the stairs from entirely collapsing on us.
Electricity and water is still cut off in several cities, with fears of aftershocks sending thousands of people from the two countries out onto the streets and parks, despite the cold conditions. Australian Red Cross disaster response manager Nova Wilkes has told SBS the situation is dire.
Red Crescent staff and volunteers have been providing emergency shelter to thousands of people who have been left homeless by the earthquake. And tens of thousands of homes have been damaged. Blocked roads are also making it difficult to get aid to those who need it. And so the situation is really quite catastrophic.
Iranian authorities say they have now stopped their search operations amid reports of landslides hindering efforts. But there is still a high demand for blood donations, with officials from the Tehran Blood Transfusion Centre making a plea on state television.
We would like to call on our dear kind people, those with negative blood types and especially O negative, to visit us to donate blood for those affected by the earthquake.
Ms. Wilkes says the Red Cross is looking towards long-term aid relief.
We'll be looking at whether people are still able to access safe water and sanitation services. But really, the assessments will be continuing to determine what people are needing the most of. There will be, you know, given the extent and severity of this earthquake, first aid is a key focus at this point at the moment. But really, longer term, it's looking at the transition to recovery.
Iran lies on major fault lines and is prone to frequent tremors. The last time an earthquake this strong rocked the country was on Boxing Day 2003. That magnitude 6.6 quake devastated the historic city of Bam, 1,000 kilometres southeast of Tehran, killing around 30,000 people.
Tara Cosoletto with that report. Still to come tonight, a special investigation which explores the underground market where Australian permanent residency is being bought and sold.
How much? 25,000.
That's right, yes. That's US dollars.
This is a recording of the migration agents appearing to ask the couple to pay the employer for the visa sponsorship. Under the Migration Act, payment for sponsorship is illegal.
I tried to negotiate with them, but to be honest, Digimon, there are people over here actually paying 50 or 100,000. Yeah. That's very hard. However, this is a genuine job.
That story in full a little later. Well, after 3 months of debate and campaigning, the results of the same-sex marriage postal survey will be made available tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. The most recent indications suggest that the yes vote will prevail, but there will still be work to do to make same-sex marriage a reality in Australia if the yes vote does get up. Matt Kinnellan reports.
For Vietnamese and Malaysian same-sex couples like Benjamin O and Nam Phan, tomorrow could be a milestone day. The couple from Sydney's western suburbs have been together for nearly 13 years and they've always dreamed of saying I do. They already have a daughter, 7-month-old Anne. Mr O says the debate has been draining.
It's been really draining the past 2 months. Really, really draining. You know, your life is being put to everybody's judgment. I mean, you don't subject any other person to a process like that. I mean, it's a bit unconscionable to subject a minority community to and their basic civil and human rights.
The couple say they've been subject to hate mail and hate speech.
Hate came to our doorstep on our envelope box, and we knew every of our neighbour received a leaflet calling us being infested with sickness, saying that our family is a danger to society.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is facing demands from Conservative Coalition MPs and the No campaign to provide what they say are acceptable religious and freedom of speech protections. It comes after a number of proposed private bills by Conservative senators. Mr Turnbull emphasised that it is a free vote.
It means a member can move whatever amendment they like and it will be voted on by the House and the Senate. And that is what not only is what's going to happen, it's what I promised.
It's expected the yes vote will win out. The Coalition for Marriage's Lyle Shelton has long campaigned in favour of a no vote. Nevertheless, Mr Shelton says it's important to accept the result with grace.
If there is a yes vote, obviously we'll be disappointed, but there'll be millions of Australians who will always believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and they'll be looking for people to represent that view in the Parliament. The way forward is to graciously accept the result, whichever way it goes, to preserve basic freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and then to quietly look for people who will represent those millions of Australians within the political process who feel disenfranchised by both sides of politics.
Alex Greenwich from Australian Marriage Equality believes that if the vote turns out as expected, there'll be a sense of gratitude from the community.
I think there will be a great deal of elation and indeed a great deal of gratitude to Australians for standing up for their gay and lesbian mates and for voting yes to a fair go for all. We would expect immediate action to get the bill produced by Senator Dean Smith and other members of the government, which is supported by the opposition and Greens, through as soon as possible. We would expect that process to start tomorrow.
Liberal Senator James Patterson has also proposed a bill for same-sex marriage, but it's been described as a licence to discriminate, including provisions which would allow private service providers to reject same-sex marriage weddings. The bill would override state and territory anti-discrimination laws, allowing the refusal of same-sex weddings by anyone who holds a religious or conscientious belief in traditional marriage. But Labor Senator Penny Wong says Senator Patterson's bill is a delaying tactic.
Now they're seeking to entrench more discrimination. I think if the Australian people do vote yes, they're not going to look kindly on the same group of people who have urged a no vote, not accepting the outcome, and trying to delay further. I thought we'd gone past the point in this country where we had signs that said, you know, we don't serve Jews, we don't serve blacks. What we're talking about is an increased licence to discriminate.
Matt Kinnellan with that report, Penny Wong ending it. Well, a visa marriage can be the last resort for those who can't get permanent residency any other way to live here in Australia, but it appears trying to get permanent residency through legitimate channels can be just as risky as paying someone to marry you. In a special investigation, SBS's Vicelands, The Feed, explores the underground market where Australian permanent residency is being bought and sold. Elise Portaka reports.
One thing about fake marriage, it's a true marriage. This is true. Everything is true. Everything is real. It's just you don't flip together, that's all. You have to provide enough evidence so the immigration, they believe that this is the true Mary. You go to holiday together, take a photo together.
My visa is failed.
Yeah.
Can I get the money back?
But this is all about trust. Like, I don't scam people.
This is a real conversation between an SBS reporter from the Vietnamese program and a marriage broker of Cambodian background. The following is also an undercover recording of a conversation between an SBS Chinese reporter and a potential husband.
I need to pay about 150,000, right?
Yes, that includes everything.
How soon will I be able to get permanent residence after applying?
Within 2 to 3 months, a year at most.
When SBS first started researching, the team found advertisements from people seeking their perfect match in online forums and community language newspapers. But in many cases, it's not love they're after. What they're looking for is a visa marriage. Another way to get permanent residency is by finding a sponsor employer. This is increasingly popular, especially with foreign students who've already invested time and money in Australia. There are many job brokers and migration agents who say they can help would-be migrants navigate the government's ever-changing system. Sijaman and Lena live in Kerala in India's south. In 2008, Lena studied hospitality in Australia. She thought she'd be eligible to apply for permanent residency after graduating, but the government changed the rules, taking her course off the list. They returned to India, but not before meeting and placing their trust in a registered migration agent.
And the employer fee, the sponsorship fee, he's going to charge $25,000 for that.
How much? $25,000.
That's right, yes. That's US dollars.
This is a recording of the migration agent appearing to ask the couple to pay the employer for the visa sponsorship. Under the Migration Act, payment for sponsorship is illegal.
I tried to negotiate with them, but to be honest, Sijaman, there are people over here actually paying $50,000 or $100,000. Yeah. That's very hard. However, this is a genuine job.
In 2015, the government increased penalties for those paying to get sponsorship and those receiving such payments. But Sijaman and Lena thought they were investing in their future and trusted their agent.
These employers will only accept cash, so you either need to give it to somebody in Melbourne to actually come and meet up over here, or I'm trying to think of the best way. He won't allow bank to bank.
As it turns out, Sijaman and Lena have lost more than the chance to start a new life in Australia.
After he received the money and after he charged his professional fees and all the money, he's just ignoring us. His phone was completely disconnected and his email is transferred to other person, his friend. So at the end, that visa completely refused.
We are feeling very bad. We're feeling awful.
It's not just individual migration agents or employers taking money when they see an opportunity. In the murky employment visa market, there are entire companies trading in broken dreams, exploiting foreign students and other would-be migrants. The Feed flew to Brisbane to investigate a skilled visa recruitment agency called Global Skills and Business Services. The company was set up and run by a man called Jack Raskovich, who is the director and sole shareholder. It targeted foreign students looking for jobs, especially work sponsorships that could lead to permanent residency. The students signed employment contracts and met Mr. Raskovich and his staff in professional-looking offices in Sydney, Melbourne and in Brisbane. Vani is one of the many SBS talked to.
In 2016, he found me a good employer and everything was good and I signed a contract with him. But that job never happened in real. Everything happened on paper. So since last year, 2016, I'm still waiting for that job to happen. Still waiting for the money I paid, which is $25,000 I paid in his business account.
Mandeep is another who dealt with Global Skills and Business Services.
I paid him $40,000. And I got the money from, whole money I got them from India, from my in-laws and my parents. They have mortgaged their property and got the money and they have transferred from India. When I was asking for my money, for a few months, he was promising me, like they were in a process of finalizing my refund. And after that, I got the email, like the company is being liquidated. They won't give me my money back.
Under the service contract signed by clients and Global Skills, clients aren't guaranteed jobs, but they are entitled to a refund, less reasonable expenses, if their employment lasts for less than 12 months. But Global Skills in Business Services is now in liquidation, claiming nil assets. Jack Raskovich is now working for a new company called All Borders. It's run out of the same office space and appears to be offering exactly the same services. SBS's The Feed has put in calls to Jack Raskovich, offering him the opportunity to respond to the claims. They called his office, his mobile, and after SBS sent an email, he closed that email account. These stories are not uncommon. Many migrants have similar experiences when attempting to navigate the visa system. Many victims are afraid to come forward. Many have limited understanding of Australia's legal system and worry about their visa status. Others, like Vanny, won't go to the police because they also could be breaking the law by paying for the sponsorship.
And then there's always this fear that maybe legal entity gonna blame you at the end. Maybe police gonna say something bad, or maybe immigration will chase us. The terrible thing is that when we know we are lost money, no one wants to lose the visa as well and go back. So I think that's why people don't want to come forward. They are scared. They have nothing to, and even they can't afford to lose anything more. They have already lost everything.
Sean Stimson from Redfern Legal Centre in Sydney is pushing for changes to the laws to encourage victims to come forward.
We've been working on some law reform over the last 18 months, 2 years, that would look at amending the Migration Act around Section 499 that actually puts better protection in place for the international student. And that is that they're able to come forward and they're able to present their situation without fear that their visa will be cancelled.
Those who are telling their stories now are hoping the Australian legal system catches up with the perpetrators.
You can see more on this on our website. Also, a full report on The Feed on SBS Viceland and online. This has been a joint investigation involving The Feed, several SBS language programs and Fairfax newspapers. Well, time now to check the news headlines for you. And former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally will contest the Bennelong by-election for the Labor Party. The by-election was called for the Sydney seat after the sitting MP John Alexander was forced to step down because of his dual citizenship. Liberal Senator Dean Smith has asked the federal parliament to start debate on his same-sex marriage bill on Thursday. The notice of motion in the parliament proposed by the West Australian senator comes as the Bureau of Statistics prepares to release the result of the postal survey at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And the chair of the Child Abuse Royal Commission, Justice Peter McClellan, says police in Sydney and Melbourne had an understanding for many years that they would protect religious pedophiles. He says it occurred at a time when the imperative for institutions like churches was to protect individual perpetrators and the institutions. And just a note that the program SBS World News Radio is being discontinued as of Friday, but we're not vanishing. We're going to a new home. You can find our podcasts and other stories on our website, sbs.com.au/news/audio. I'm Greg Dyett. Thanks for listening.